In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we find the angel talking to Joseph, and he's talking to him about Mary. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, Jesus is many things. And in this series of lessons, we're looking at some words and even some titles in the Bible that describe Jesus. And today we come to the one thing that we are perhaps most grateful for, and that is the fact that Jesus is the Savior. Now, Jesus was a man, but he was not just a man. He was also God manifested in the flesh. Jesus was a Jew, but he was not just any Jew. He was not just any Israelite. Jesus was the originator of Christianity, but he was not just a leader of just another religious movement. Jesus worked miracles and prophesied, but so did others in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So what makes Jesus different? Jesus, you see, is God. Jesus is the Savior. Now, what I want to do in this lesson is to look at a few things involved in the fact that Jesus is the Savior. First of all, when we talk about Jesus being the Savior, what is it that He saves us from? He gives us, He offers us, salvation from sin. That's what Matthew 1 verse 21 is talking about. And by the way, we're going to spend most of our time in the book of Matthew, so if you have your Bible open at Matthew chapter 1, you'll be able to turn pretty quickly to these other passages. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says that the reason that Jesus came is to save His people from their sins. Now you see, these Jewish people wanted to be delivered from many other things. The Jewish people in particular wanted to be delivered from the subjection that they were in to the Roman government. So they wanted to be freed from this obedience that they were required to have to the Roman Empire. That's what they wanted to be saved from. They wanted to be saved from Rome. Jesus did not come to save the Israelite nation from Rome. He came to save them from their sins. And I find today that there are people that look at Jesus as the Savior, but they really don't think most of all about the fact that Jesus is our Savior because He came to save us from sin. They're thinking that Jesus can save them or deliver them from other things in life that they really don't want. You find that people today think that the main reason that Jesus came is to save people from poverty. Well, Jesus helped the poor, but He also said to His disciples that you will always have the poor with you. Some people look at Jesus and think that the only reason, or even the main reason that He came, is to save people from disease. Well, Jesus healed many sick people. Jesus wants people to be better, but at the same time, the Bible shows that disease is a part of life, and dying is a part of life. Some people want Jesus to save them from bad relationships. Other people want Jesus to save them from bad feelings, from bad emotions. And yet what we find, folks, is that the Bible says that He came to save us from sin. You see, there are churches today, and there are many preachers today, that give a message that they call the gospel, which is really not the gospel in the New Testament, because they preach deliverance from poverty. They preach being free from disease. They preach about deliverance from bad relationships and bad feelings and all of the other adversities of life. And yet Jesus says that He came to save us from sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. So first of all, if we're going to talk about Jesus being the Savior, we need to understand and we need to remember and emphasize what it is that He saves us from. Sin. Matthew 1 verse 21. In the second place, Jesus offers salvation to all. Matthew chapter 11. Let's read Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Here the Bible says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, who is Jesus offering this invitation to? Who is he inviting to come to him? The Bible says in verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So Jesus offers salvation to all. The Bible says that Jesus tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 verse 9. Who did Jesus die for? He died for us all. The Bible says that Jesus' blood, when it was shed on the cross, was shed for the whole world. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. So the offer is to everybody. The offer of salvation is to all. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, that this promise is to you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But now let's look at something else that is involved in the fact that Jesus is our Savior. And that is, although Jesus offers salvation to all, not everybody will be saved. And let's look at Matthew chapter 7 on this point. Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to notice what Jesus himself said in verses 13 and 14. You see, there are people today that look at Jesus as the Savior, and they're happy to admit that Jesus is the Savior. But when you hear them talking, you get the idea that they think that Jesus is going to save everybody. Or you get the idea that they think Jesus is going to save just about everybody. So they're going to make some exceptions sometimes. Maybe there's some extremely evil person out there, or there's some people that are so bad that they don't think that those people are going to be saved. They don't think those people are going to heaven. But pretty much everybody else is going to heaven in the thinking of a lot of people today. Now, folks, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach that everybody's going to heaven. And the Bible does not even teach that most people are going to heaven. Here's Jesus. Now, he's the Savior. And I want you to notice what he said about how many people are going to be saved and how many people are going to be lost. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Now, what did Jesus say about this destruction? And that destruction is hell. That is eternal damnation in hell. He said that many go into that place of destruction. That's verse 13. So just highlight or underscore the word many and destruction. Now look at verse 14, Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the life here is not life on the earth, this is life in heaven. This is spiritual life, eternal life in heaven. And so what he says is that few will find that life. So many will go to destruction, verse 13, and few will find everlasting or eternal life. Jesus is the Savior. He came to save us from sin. He offers salvation to all, but not everybody is going to be saved, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Now let's go to the next question. Who then will be saved? If everybody is not going to be saved, if few will be saved in the end, then who is going to be saved and how are we saved? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and I want you to notice what Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28. Here's where Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. And he took the cup, the fruit of the vine, and here's what he said about that cup. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. This cup, in other words, represents my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That is, for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus' blood was shed so that our sins can be forgiven. Well, we've already seen that not everybody is going to be forgiven, though. Not everybody is going to be saved. So how do we get this remission of sins? How do we obtain this salvation that is made possible by His blood? How does Jesus become our Savior? Well, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and here we find what many people call the Great Commission. This is where Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So Jesus said, if you're going to be saved, here's what you do. You have to believe and you have to be baptized. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So if a person asks today, I'm lost and I need to be saved and I want to know how to be saved. Well, when we go straight to this passage in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, what is the answer that we get? We find that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now there's one other passage that I'd like to turn to today, and that is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and what we're looking at here in Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost Day. Thousands of Jews have come together to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And the Bible says that after Peter and the other apostles had preached to these people, in verse 37, the Bible says, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And in verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So Jesus said the night before he was crucified that his blood was going to be shed for the remission of sins. Well, how do we obtain that remission of sins? How do we contact that blood? The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So you see, folks, you don't find Peter or anybody else in the Bible telling a lost soul these words. Well, you just accept or receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and pray the sinner's prayer. You don't find that in the book of Acts. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. So if we're going to recognize Jesus as our Savior, and if He is truly going to be our personal Savior, then we're going to have to follow the teaching that is set forth in His Word, especially in these passages that we've looked at in this lesson.